Gold's Gym, World Gym, 24-Hour Fitness, Lifetime, Body Business, Planet Fitness. It seems like every time you turn around, there's a new gym or a new fitness center being built here in our fair city. But we shouldn't be surprised, because the human predisposition with physical fitness, well, it's not a new phenomenon. As a matter of fact, physical fitness was so important to the ancient Greeks that every important Grecian city had at least one gymnasium. And by the 2nd century, the Grecian passion for physical fitness had made its way to the surrounding world, so that even the Asian city of Ephesus had 4 gymnasiums to boast of. During the 3 years that Paul lived in Ephesus, I'm certain that he would have recognized the growing interest in physical fitness. But rather than writing to the Ephesian Christians about their need for exhausting exercise, here in Ephesians chapter 3, we find Paul entering into the Lord's gym in order to exercise his spiritual muscles by spending time on his knees before the Lord Almighty. You see, Paul knew that prayer is the true exercise that results in supernatural strength and perfect power. And so let's turn our attention to Ephesians chapter 3, where we find the introduction to Paul's prayer. Here in Ephesians 3:14, Paul declared, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Here in these verses, we find the introduction to Paul's 2nd recorded prayer found in the book of Ephesians. And while this first prayer, the first prayer that we found at the end of Ephesians chapter 1, was focused on the physical and mental and spiritual transformation of the Ephesian believers, this second prayer of Paul was more focused on the actual source of God's transforming power. And through his example, we'll discover here in our text this morning that the Christian who enters into the Lord's gym through prayer is the Christian that has all of the supernatural strength and the perfect power that they need to overcome their sinful nature. And so here in our text today, we find 3 benefits that Christians are provided with when we spend time exercising our spiritual muscles in the Lord's gym. So first of all, we'll see in our text this morning that the Lord's gym provides every believer with spiritual strength training. Second of all, we'll see that the Lord's gym provides every believer with a passionate personal trainer. And finally, here in our text this morning, we'll see that the Lord's gym provides every believer with performance-enhancing power. With this as our outline, let's begin by considering how the Lord's gym provides every believer with spiritual strength training. Strength training is a form of exercise that's designed to increase muscle mass, which in turn then increases the physical strength and the endurance of the individual. And while spending time exercising in the gym with the goal of increasing your physical strength, with the goal for endurance, well, that's certainly a good thing. But Paul revealed here in our text today that the key to godly living has less to do with physical strength and more to do with spiritual strength. And so he introduces us to spiritual strength training here in this prayer. Let's consider what Paul had to say about spiritual strength training here in Ephesians chapter 3. Beginning again there in verse 14, Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." Here in verse 16, we find Paul praying that the Christians in Ephesus would be strengthened. This word strengthened means to increase in strength, means to be made strong. I should point out that this word strengthened, well, it's found in the passive voice. And that simply means this: the one that's being strengthened is passively receiving the strength of another. So while physical strength training involves an active workout regimen as the source of its strength, spiritual strength training occurs as we passively receive from the Lord his strength. That being the case, we should take a closer look at this strength that we receive as we spend time on our knees in the Lord's gym. Here in verse 16, again, we find Paul praying that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit. You see, when Paul prayed for the Christians in Ephesus to be strengthened with might, he was using the Greek word dynamis, which speaks of the explosive and miraculous power of God. Therefore, Paul was essentially praying that the Christians in Ephesus would be strengthened with the miraculous power of God through his Spirit. With this in mind, consider a Reuters report about a 38-year-old German driver who lost control of his vehicle and plunged the front of his car into a 6-foot-deep ditch. Fortunately for him, the wreck occurred across the street from the Explosives Fitness Studio. That explains why a group of 10 bodybuilders from the gym went across the street. They broke their normal training routine in order to help this unfortunate driver. A police spokeswoman told Reuters that they dropped their sweat towels and their water bottles and ran over the road to the crash site. And within minutes, the puny weakling driver became passively strengthened with the might of 10 muscle-bound men who were willing to use their strength to lift this person's car up and out of the ditch. You see, that man just sat in his car. I imagine him sitting in his car as these 10 men pick up this car and pull it out of this ditch, and all of a sudden, he's as strong as 10 men, passively. Without a doubt, this news report presents us with a pretty good picture of the way that Christians are spiritually strengthened with might through God's Spirit. But rather than providing us with the physical strength of 10 muscle-bound men, the spiritual strength that we receive according to the miraculous power of God has been designed to strengthen the inner man. The strength of God is not designed to strengthen the outer man, the physical man, but the inner man, the immaterial man. Check out verse 16 again. Because here again in verse 16, we find Paul praying that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Notice there, at the end of verse 16, that Paul was praying for the inner man to be strengthened with miraculous power of God. We should understand that this word inner, it's been translated from the Greek word eso. Eso, in this context, it speaks of the soul or the conscience of a man. Therefore, we must understand that there's an importance, that there's an important inner strength that we need. There's a strength that is applied to the inner man that we need as Christians if we're going to live as Christians ought to live. Now, in order to better understand this inner strength, let's hold our place here in Ephesians chapter 3. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, and we'll continue to understand the importance of this inner strength. As you turn to Colossians chapter 1, I want to consider a recent news poll survey which revealed that 63% of gym members make excuses to skip workouts at least once a week. Now, in light of this research, Jeff Bond, the former head of sports psychology at the Australian Institute of Sports, revealed this. He said, while physical strength and training will get you on the track, crossing the line will depend on your mental toughness and the power of your mind to stay focused and motivated. In other words, Bond is suggesting that 63% of the people who attempt to maintain a regular strength training regimen end up missing some of their weekly workouts due to a lack of mental strength. They can't win the mental battle sometimes so that they can get into the gym to win the physical battle. It's in similar fashion that we all too often set out as Christians with the best of intentions to spiritually walk according to our God-given convictions, then only to end up failing and falling back into the very sins that we're trying to avoid. You see, this is why we need inner strength training. We need inner strength so that we can endure every temptation of every sin. Check out Colossians chapter 1, beginning there in verse 9. Because there we find Paul praying for this very thing. He writes, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy." Here in these verses, we find Paul asking God, he's praying and asking God to help the Christians in Colossae to walk in a worthy and a pleasing and a fruitful way. And in order to do this, Paul knew that they would need to be strengthened with all might according to God's glorious power. You see, the Christian who has been strengthened with the might of God's glorious power has also been, look at the end of verse 11, has also been empowered to endure the temptation of sin through patience and long-suffering. Those words patience and long-suffering, those are both words that allude to endurance. They're both words that have to do with enduring the temptation of sin. So we must understand that we need to be strengthened with God's might, according to his glory, so that we might endure the sins that tempt us. Christian, listen, when the temptation to sin seduces your soul, you need inner strength to patiently endure the temptation. Therefore, we must spend time on our knees. We must spend time praying in the Lord's gym if we're going to overcome our sinful nature. When the deceptive desires of the flesh fill your mental faculties, you need inner strength in order to endure the long suffering of self-sacrifice. Therefore, we must spend time on our knees, or we must spend time in prayer in the Lord's gym, asking God to strengthen our inner man with the might of his Spirit so that we can escape the sins that so easily ensnare us. Christian, listen. Those who spend time praying, those who spend time in the Lord's gym, seeking strength from the Lord, well, they're provided with that spiritual strength training. The Lord begins to strengthen their inner man. And as our inner man becomes strengthened with the might of our glorious God, we become spiritually stronger. We become spiritually stronger than the sins that tempt us. So who's stronger in your life right now? Your inner man or your sins? Which one's stronger? Is your inner man stronger than your sin? Or is your sin stronger than your inner man? And if the sin is stronger than your inner man, then you need to spend time in prayer, seeking strength from the God of all power. But that's not all. Not only are we provided spiritual strength training in the Lord's gym, those who spend time in the Lord's gym are also provided with a passionate personal trainer. This title, personal trainer, well, it's used to describe a person who is qualified to coach others in order to achieve a desired level of fitness. And as I consider this position of personal trainer, I can't help but to think about Jillian Michaels and Bob Harper, who are currently, well, they're the most popular personal trainers on the planet. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Jillian and Bob by name, then you'll probably recognize them as the passionate personal trainers who have been employed by NBC to help overweight contestants win $250,000 by losing the highest percentage of body weight on the reality television show, The Biggest Loser. Apparently, the creators of The Biggest Loser, well, they thought that just sticking a bunch of contestants on a reality show and telling them to lose weight wasn't enough. Chances are they're not really going to achieve the goal on their own. And so they hired Jillian and they hired Bob to come along and be personal trainers to these contestants, because NBC realized that these people needed help to overcome their physical negligence. It's in similar fashion that God also knew that we would need some help. We would need a passionate personal trainer who could help us to overcome our spiritual negligence, because all too often our sin is stronger than our inner man. So we need strength, but we need a personal trainer to come along and point the way and to give us godly guidance and divine direction. Here in our text, we discover the identity of this passionate personal trainer. And so, again, look at Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Now let's stop here for a moment so that we don't miss what Paul is praying here in the beginning of verse 17. Because it would appear that he's asking God to send the Spirit of Christ into the hearts of Christians in Ephesus. I'm forced to ask there because it's my understanding that as soon as we become Christians, that Christ is in our hearts. The Spirit of Christ indwells the heart of every believer at the point of conversion. Therefore, I must ask, why in the world would Paul pray this prayer if Christ is automatically dwelling in the hearts of these believers? Well, in order to answer this question, in order to understand what Paul is actually praying for, we need to take a closer look at the word dwell found there in verse 17. You see, when Paul prayed that Christ may dwell, he used a Greek word that metaphorically refers to the divine powers and influences of God, by which Christians are then trained by Christ and directed into righteous living. Therefore, Paul wasn't praying for Christ to dwell in their hearts as a new and improved feature of their Christian walk. No, he was rather praying that they would readily recognize the role of Christ in their lives, the role of Christ being their personal trainer regarding spiritual things. Check out verse 17 again, and we'll watch as Paul continues to develop this point. In Ephesians 3:17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Well, here in verse 18, Paul continued to advance this idea that Jesus is our passionate personal trainer by encouraging the Christians in Ephesus to comprehend the training program of Jesus. Look again at verse 18 where Paul prayed that they may be able to comprehend. Now, I should point out that this word comprehend, it shares the same root word as the word dwell in verse 17. Therefore, I'm certain that Paul, speaking to a Greek-speaking audience, I'm sure that his audience would have readily recognized that he was using similar words as a way of advancing his previous point. He wanted them to understand that Christ was going to dwell in their hearts so that they can comprehend. But let's understand what this means now. Because not only should we understand that this word comprehend in this context refers to the way that Christ, by his holy power, influences the human mind and will in order to prompt it and govern it. And so once again, Paul is praying here that they would readily recognize this role of Christ, that Christ is there to dwell in their hearts, in other words, empowering them from within, to then recognize his power as he leads them into righteous living. Without a doubt, Paul used the words dwell and comprehend in his prayer with the purpose of revealing that the Spirit of Christ has been placed into the heart of every believer so that he might become our passionate personal trainer. And yet at the same time, Paul recognized that the personal training relationship, well, it's two-sided. And oftentimes, the trainer's plan, well, it's not always followed by the trainee. For example, if you've ever watched The Biggest Loser, then you would know that every contestant ends up on one of two teams. Half of the contestants end up on Bob's team and the other half end up on Jillian's. Either way, every person on the show ends up with a passionate personal trainer who begins to lead them and direct them into the best plan for achieving their goal. And while most contestants start strong, many of them end up rebelling and rejecting the guidance given by their trainer. And as a result, many of those people will fail to enjoy the victory that their trainer was attempting to lead them towards. The fact is, just because a person has a personal trainer doesn't mean they're always going to receive the direction and the guidance that's given. Same thing is true for Christians. The same thing is true for believers, which is why Paul addressed this very issue here in our text. Notice again here in our text how Paul prayed for obedience on the part of the believers. There in verse 17, Paul writes, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. So right there between the words dwell and comprehend, Paul prayed that the Christians in Ephesus may be able. This phrase has been translated from a Greek word that speaks of having full strength. We should also understand that this verb is found in the subjunctive mood, which suggests possibility and potentiality. Let me explain it like this. It's possible. There's a possibility that every Christian will receive divine direction and godly guidance from the indwelling Spirit of Christ. That's possible. Here's another possibility. We won't. It's possible that we'll receive that fullness of power from the indwelling Spirit of Christ, and it's possible that we won't. You see, the potential is there for Christ to be our passionate trainer, provided that we're willing to submit to His training program. The possibility and the potential is there for Christ to come along and empower us to live for Him, providing that we'll submit to His direction. See, the personal training relationship that develops between the Christian and Christ, it's two-sided. And on the one side of the relationship, you have Christ, who has become our passionate personal trainer. And as our personal trainer, He's constantly influencing us and constantly directing us into the way that we ought to live. Then on the other side of the relationship, there's the Christian, who by faith has been rooted and grounded in love. The Christian has been saved. The Spirit of Christ is dwelling in their hearts. But then the question is, will they submit? Will they let the Lord be their Lord? The fact is, too many Christians choose to disregard the ongoing instructions of the Savior, therefore rejecting Him as their personal trainer. That being the case, how important is it that we find ourselves every day in the Lord's gym, praying and seeking godly guidance from our passionate personal trainer, ready to obey, ready to submit to the divine direction and the godly guidance that He gives us. But we need so much more than that, don't we? We need so much more than that. We need to be empowered to live for Him. And so those who spend time praying in the Lord's gym are engaged in spiritual strength training. Those who spend time praying in the Lord's gym, well, they're more than likely to follow the passionate personal trainer. And finally, those who spend time in the Lord's gym, well, we're provided with performance-enhancing power. Performance-enhancing power, it's not a new thing. Some manuscripts dating back to the early Olympic Games reported that different athletes were using different potions made up of different animal parts to gain strength. Even Nacho Libre looked to the power of the eagle eggs to win his wrestling battles. Seems like today, every time you turn around, another sports celebrity is being exposed for juicing. Oh, I'm not talking about Jack LaLanne's Power Juicer Pro. I'm talking about the sports heroes who have been caught using anabolic steroids. And they use them in order to gain performance-enhancing power. The fact is, most college and professional athletes recognize the need to perform above their natural ability in order to stay in the game. College and professional athletes, sometimes even high school athletes, recognize the need to perform above their natural ability if they're going to stay on the team. It's for this reason that most athletes begin to use those over-the-counter, legal performance-enhancing supplements, such as, you know, the powders that you can buy and the shakes and the pills and the bars. And they'll go and they'll take these supplements in order to gain the advantage on the field or on the court. I myself have used some of these supplements. When I play racquetball, I'm on my way and I didn't get a good lunch or something, and I don't want to get bogged down with a dinner. I might stop by the convenience store and grab a power bar just so I have some energy so I can dominate on the court. Got to win. And so you seek out these performance-enhancing supplements, but when you go to that professional level, you need something more. Everybody can just go down and get an energy bar. Everybody can mix a shake up. Got to have something more. And so some athletes, well, they turn to the illegal supplements. They turn to the steroids in order to gain the advantage over the other athletes. In both cases, though, let's look at the root of this issue. Because in both cases, whether people are using the legal or the illegal supplements or steroids, athletes feel the pressure to perform above their natural abilities. I think that's something that we can relate to here this morning. I think that's something that every Christian probably relates to. The fact is, any Christian that spends any time reading God's Word will eventually be challenged to live their life beyond their natural ability. For example, when our passionate personal trainer directs us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus, we better recognize that that's not something that we're naturally going to do. The Lord is challenging us to perform on a level that's above the natural ability. When Jesus commands us to love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves, that's not natural. It's not a natural thing for me to love you as much as I love me. I always love people less than I love me naturally. And so when the Lord says, love others as you love yourself, love others with the same level of love that you love yourself, that's not natural. That's a supernatural kind of love that isn't going to naturally come from my life. I'm sure that we've all been challenged at some point as Christians to live our lives beyond our natural ability, which is why we must spend time in the Lord's gym. Because when we spend time in the Lord's gym, when we spend time praying to the Lord, He turns around and blesses us with performance-enhancing power. Check out verse 14, and I'll show you where this is. Here in Ephesians 3:14, Paul writes, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Here in this prayer, we find Paul asking God to fill the Christians in Ephesus with performance-enhancing power. And while the bodybuilders and the gym rats use natural supplements or even illegal steroids in order to acquire that performance-enhancing power, the performance-enhancing power that Christians receive in the Lord's gym, well, it comes from the infinite love of God. Therefore, Paul prayed that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, so that we might know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now remember, this word comprehend, it speaks of Christ using His power to influence the mind and the will of the submissive Christian. And as we submit to the program of our passionate personal trainer, we continue to be empowered as we experience Christ's immeasurable, infinite abundance of love. Let's spend some time then examining these measurements of Christ's love in order to better understand how the infinite love of Christ provides believers with performance-enhancing power. Here in verse 18, Paul mentioned four measurements of God's immeasurable love. And he began with the measurement of width. This word width, it speaks of a measurement that's taken from side to side. And in light of this measurement of width, the psalmist declared, "The Lord has removed our transgressions from us, as far as the east is from the west." Now, how far is that? How far is the east from the west? And I'm not just talking about on the planet here, but if you start going all the way that way to the east and then all the way that way to the west and you continue traveling for infinity, How far is that? Well, there's an infinite amount of distance between the infinite east to the infinite west. And that's how far the Lord has separated us from our sins. Those who turn to Christ and trust in Him, He's taking those sins, He's taking them and He's paid for them. And so it's as good as that you could never see them again. They're so far away from you. They're so far removed. Christian, listen, the Lord loves us so much that He's put an infinite distance between us and our sins. Therefore, as we follow the godly guidance of our passionate personal trainer, Christ who's dwelling in us and helping us to comprehend these things, we begin to discover the infinite width of His gracious love. Oh, it's immeasurable. Which means that we can just continue and continue and continually discover the width of His love. The width of His forgiving, gracious love. And as we begin to discover it, as we begin to experience this infinite love, we begin to gain spiritual power, which enables us to live for Him. Paul also mentioned length here, which refers to the measurement of something from end to end. And in light of this measurement, the psalmist declared, "The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him." Now, how long is that? From everlasting to everlasting? Christian, listen, if you went back in time all the way to eternity past and then turned back around and went all the way into the future, into eternity future, which is impossible, no matter how far you go back or no matter how far you go forward, the Lord is there ready to shower you with His merciful love. From everlasting to everlasting. That is the length of His love for you. And listen, the Lord was ready to shower you with infinite mercy and love in the past. He's ready to shower you with that in the future. And today, He's ready to shower you with His infinite merciful love. Therefore, as we follow the divine direction of our passionate personal trainer, we begin to discover the everlasting mercy of His infinite love. And as a result, we're filled with spiritual power, which enables us to live for Him. Furthermore, Paul used the word depth, which refers to a measurement from the surface and then downward. And in light of this measurement, we must consider how Jesus was sent from heaven to earth just to die for us. And after dying, He was buried in the earth. And like Jonah was in the belly of the whale, He remained there 3 days. God sent His only begotten Son from heaven to earth to die in our place so that we can receive His love. And as we walk by faith, following our passionate personal trainer, we continue to discover the depth of His sacrificial love for us. And as we do, we're filled with spiritual power, which enables us to live for Him. Finally, Paul used the word height, which refers to a measurement from the surface upwards. And in light of this measurement, the psalmist declared, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him." If we started here on earth and began traveling upwards into infinity, God's mercy is there for us. His merciful love is there for us, regardless of where we go. As we consider this merciful love of our Lord, the Christian who begins to obey in the training program of our passionate personal trainer, as Christ dwells in our hearts and fills us with power and leads us in His direction and guides us into His way, and as we begin to submit to that, we begin to experience this infinite, immeasurable love. And as we do, we gain more and more and more power so that we can continue to live for Him. And so we see then that God's love for us is infinite in width and length. It's infinite in depth and in height. It's immeasurable. And yet at the same time, God has a plan to empower us by helping us to experience this love, which Paul says passes knowledge. God wants you to know something that passes our knowledge. He wants you to experience something that can't be explained. Oh, I've done my best to explain it to you. And still God's love is so much more than that. It passes our knowledge. It's something that just has to be experienced. God wants us to experience His love, which passes all knowledge. And as a result, Paul declared at the end of verse 19, that we'll be filled with all the fullness of God. That word fullness, well, it comes from a Greek word that it was used to describe a ship. A ship that wasn't empty. You know, a ship that was completely filled with the manpower of sailors, rowers, and soldiers. Now imagine how powerful a ship would be if it was filled with sailors and rowers and soldiers. That's a lot of manpower there, filling that ship. But according to Thayer's lexicon, this word was also used to describe the Christian who has been filled with the presence and the power of God. The Christian who has been filled with the presence and the power of God is kind of like that ship that's filled with the manpower of those sailors and rowers and soldiers. And this is the kind of fullness that we experience as we begin to experience the love of God as Christ dwells in our hearts. Christian, we must understand that the supernatural power that we need to overcome the sins that so easily ensnare us, the supernatural strength that we need in order to endure that strength training program of our passionate personal trainer, well, it's provided to those who will spend time in the Lord's gym praying to God, praying to the God who loves us with an immeasurable love. And now just to make sure that no one failed to grasp his point, check out the final verses of Ephesians chapter 3. Paul caps off this study of the power of God by saying, now to Him, verse 20 there, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Here in these verses, Paul concludes this prayer by acknowledging that God is the one who is able. Look at verse 20 again. Now to Him who is able. This word able comes from the Greek word dynami. It's a word that speaks of explosive power. And it's the power that you need to accomplish something. And so Paul's restating here that God is the one with the power. The power that gives Him the ability to do. The power that gives Him the ability to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now this word exceedingly, it comes from the Greek word hyper, which means beyond or more than enough. So he's saying abundantly or exceedingly, it's more than enough. It's beyond what you would need. But then he followed up that word by using the word abundantly that's found there in verse 20. This word abundantly refers to an extraordinary amount. Not an ordinary amount, an extraordinary amount. Then he used the word above. It's been translated above, but actually it's the same Greek word hyper. Now why would he use the word hyper twice? Again, that word hyper speaks of something that's beyond or more than enough. But then check out verse 20 again where he uses the word all. The word all there in verse 20, this word all in the Greek, now check this out, it means all. Everything, it means all. So Paul is ensuring us here that God is powerful enough. His power makes Him able to do more than an extraordinary amount and then beyond that of all that we ask. Now, when we come to the Lord and we ask something, what are we doing? We're praying. So when we come to the Lord praying, asking, Even just thinking. Boy, it sure would be nice to have the strength and the power to overcome this weakness that I have. Boy, it sure would be nice if I could overcome this struggle that I have. Lord, would you help me? The Lord turns around and says, yeah, I've got the power to be able to help you to do that. But more than that, and more than an extraordinary amount of that, and even more than that. That's the kind of power that God has. But then listen, all of this is to be accomplished. Look at the end of verse 20. According to the power that works in us. You see, at one point we need to passively receive the power of God through spiritual strength training. But then when we receive that power, God's calling us, now step out. Because I'm going to have that power work in you now. When Paul wrote about the power that works in us, he was referring to the dynamic energy that we receive when we begin to experience the immeasurable love of God. Therefore, Christian, listen. When we spend time in the Lord's gym, when we spend time asking God for the power to overcome the sins that so easily ensnare us, the Lord in turn fills us with the performance-enhancing power of His love. By which then we are enabled by the power of God to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we asked for or even thought about. The Lord wants to use His power in us to change our lives. But then it takes us submitting to Him and walking in obedience by His power. And then as a result, check out what he says there in verse 21. He says that God's glory will be known in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Without a doubt, Christian, physical exercise is profitable. It's good to be healthy. And yet the strongest people in the world can still find themselves spiritually powerless to overcome their sinful nature. It's for this reason that Paul told young Timothy, exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Therefore, according to Paul's advice and his example, we ought to be spending time every day in the Lord's gym. Because those who spend time praying in the Lord's gym, well, we become empowered through the spiritual strength training program of our Lord. And those who spend time in the Lord's gym will learn to follow the voice, the divine direction, and the godly guidance of our passionate personal trainer. And those who spend time praying in the Lord's gym will be given the performance-enhancing power of His love. And as a result, as the Lord changes our lives and helps us to live according to His righteousness, then the glory of God is revealed in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray.